Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, please bless each of us with your comfort and peace. And for those who have comfort and peace, give us each guidance for how we may serve you better. We give you thanks for all that you have abundantly given us, and may you guide our hearts and our reasoning to recognize the richness of all the blessing that we have right now. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in a little bit I'm going to talk about preparedness in the meeting I had a week ago, but first some thoughts. These are the days and the times when you look around in the world and you just want to give God thanks that we live here in America right now. It's so natural that we always want more. We want what we don't have. But let us appreciate all the things that we have. I remember when I was a teenager, my dad told me this concept that to imagine something is a greater inside of you than it is to have something, because your imaginings are always more perfect than what is real. But you have to know that we have to appreciate all the wonderful blessings that we have in our life right now, and then separate them from our dreams. If we have dreams, that's good. Dreams are good, but we have to temper our dreams with reality and what we actually have and can have. You know, these are the days, these are the times when we look around in the world and we give thanks to God that we live here in America right now, in this very year, with all the blessings that we have in the world. And it is so natural to desire more, to desire all the things that we can imagine, whatever they are, but realize that your imaginings are not real. And then, remember the dreams. The dreams are good too. It's just that they're not reality. That reminds me of another lesson I learned once upon a time, that when you walk into your home, the first 3 minutes, let them be a pleasant interaction with your spouse and your children. Don't come in and immediately find something wrong. I used to be good at that, but I've learned my lesson, and it's a really good lesson just to have 3 minutes of appreciation, of peace, and calmness. Lesson learned. Yes. Well, life is better now when you are a pleasant person and a good neighbor. And that's what you want to do. You want to be that good neighbor and that pleasant person. And you can get along and still have your strong morality. Pleasant is one thing, but it doesn't mean you compromise your morals or your life principles. No, you still stay strong. You still are a strong person. And speaking of neighbors, oh, well, yes, well, one thought goes into the other. The Trump campaign workers knocked on 1 million doors in the last week. And the Biden campaign workers knocked on zero doors last week. So it's just interesting, all the different contrasts that we have in life for one thing and another, and we have to find our way with proper and right godly morality. In many ways, these times and these days are so very interesting. One of the things that I find interesting is people. People have such different points of view. Even within a close family, people still raised in the same household have such different points of view. There is great diversity around us, and we have to learn to get along, because if we don't, you know the other part. The other part is conflict if we don't get along. And there is enough conflict in the world. We don't need any more. So let's try to get along. Let's try to do it in our personal relation, in our household, in our neighborhood, in our cities, and between countries also. And that doesn't mean compromise. It does not mean to compromise your life principles. It means that you get along, and you also allow other people to get along, and you don't get into a confrontation. That's just how you want people to treat you that way, so you try to treat other people that way. And these days, we do have bullies here and there. There are bullies in the neighborhood. There's people with attitudes that are really pushy and unpleasant. But you want to be that person who can get along. It doesn't mean compromise. It means getting along. We don't need any more violence in the world. And there is violence in the world. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes there's terrorism. And sometimes it is just plain an accident. It's looking like that huge explosion in Beirut, Lebanon, about a week ago was an accident. But who can say? Who can say? But we know that it was a tragedy. When we pray for the people, not just pray, but we do something for people. First is prayer, and then we act appropriately when we can. Well, there are hundreds dead from that huge explosion. And there were thousands homeless because of it. The numbers aren't really reliable, whether it's 300,000 or 500,000 that are homeless. It's an unknown figure, but it's pretty serious, whatever it is. And we know that the world is full of strife. It is full of pain. There's lots of things going on, and let's try to be the force of goodness in the world, God's goodness. We will give thanks to God for all the good things that we do have. And sometimes the problems are good too. They do help to define who we are, and that can be a good thing. And no matter what, it seems the problems just plain develop. I think of what's going on in the world. Oh, yes, in our neighborhood, but also internationally. Think of what's going on between the United States and China and China's neighbors. You know that China's neighbors are very concerned with the aggression that China is displaying. Just lately, India and Australia and Japan are trying to work together to try to counteract China's aggression. And look at what's going on with the United States and China. There is the possibility of a trade war. It just keeps developing. And trade wars have a history of turning into a military conflict, a real war, with shooting and bombs and even invasion. That's kind of a historical example. And of course, we don't want that to happen. But we know that is what often has happened most of the time in the past. When there has been a trade war, it has made tensions increase and increase and increase to the point of a war or some kind of a conflict like that. 'Cause people can get aggressive, and that's just the nature of people. We do have to be aware of our nature and what goes on. You know, just because we have something happen, we react to it one way or another, and that is a part of what becomes our reality. Just like that 3 minutes when you first come into a home, your house, and deal with your family, it becomes reality. And just like in the world, when we deal with our neighbors, it becomes reality too. And we sure want to get along. It's not a good thing when we have conflict and have an ungodly attitude towards our neighbors or our family or anything else. I don't know why, I just think of the four sword judgments of God in Ezekiel chapter 14. That's verses 12 through about 21. Well, more or less, it depends. But it has to do with consequences that Jesus stated also in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, about the things that are going to happen in the end times. Judgments, yes, consequences, however you want to call it. If things happen, and there is an understanding that they happen according to our actions and according to God's laws that he tells us about. That's why we want to live godly, for one, but also to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can choose to believe things or not, but we get consequences. We get consequences for all of our decisions and actions, and we want to become considerate and compassionate for all those different things. God knows the future, and we don't know, so we just want to pay attention to all the things around us, whether they're blessings or troubles. Look and think and act appropriately. I think of two areas right now in our society that we are having consequences in, and that is with what we are concerned with in our future. We are concerned with staying alive. And so people right now in our society, in our country, we are looking at our concerns that are food, and quite a lot of people are looking at firearms. So you know, with that viral concern a few months ago, people were looking at buying food, all sorts of long-term food. Lots of supplies disappeared right off of the shelves. And there wasn't any. There was no replacements. It was bought up. And that was, yes, here in California, but all around the country it has been like that. Long-term food has been disappearing off the shelves. And so have firearms and ammunition also. There's practically none to buy, it seems. I don't know. I don't really have to do with those areas, but I hear what people say. Well, we could only wish that Bibles would disappear off the shelves just as fast. Well, remember the book, that is the Bible, is full of hope. There is hope in the Bible all the way through it. Now, it's not just about hope. There's lots of stories in the Bible about families, about people, and there are lessons to learn. And that's the wonderful thing about the Bible. There's lessons to learn. And it is full of hope. There is hope for the believer. It is eternal hope. But you know what? It's a terror for the unbeliever. The Bible is quite a book. It's made such a difference throughout history. So much difference. Well, remember your position in Christ and be hopeful. I would just think of Revelation. You know, in that book of Revelation, there's a lot going on. It's really a lot of hope in that book of Revelation for the believer, but for the unbeliever, it's a terror. There's so many things that go on, but for the believer, there is a heavenly reward and a new earth. It's wonderful. But you have to remember what your overall view is, what the attitude is that is expressed, and your position within that. See, I think another part of that book of Revelation is that God expects us to be overcomers. And right there in that book of Revelation, there's three examples. Revelation 2:26, he that overcometh. And Revelation 3:21, also he that overcometh. And Revelation 17:7, he that overcometh shall inherit. Well, the idea here to remember is overcoming. And this is something we all want to do with God and his loving kindness and his righteousness. And that also is what we are to reflect. When we serve God, we are to reflect God's loving kindness and righteousness. Don't you say? Yes. And then I think about that book of Revelation, chapter 21. Verse 8, or let's say 7 to 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Yes, and God shall be our God, and we shall be his son, his children. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, liars, and shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. That is the second death. So we have the first one on that verse 8 is the fearful. Fearful. Now we are to overcome and not have fear, right? That's what I read. You can tell me what you think, but that's what I see. So let us remember not to be fearful about the future. Not to be fearful about the situations that are right in front of us. Fear just seems to stop us from acting. But being prepared to overcome fear, when we have that, when we have a few things around us, like food, or some people would say firearms, but I would say plants like seeds and gardening tools and things to repair your home and situation, like nails, screws, and a hammer. Well, tools help everything. And if you are prepared, your fear is overcome. And you don't have to be fearful. You can be prepared. So search out what God means with all the things that he tells us. They're written in the Bible. It's a good book, and I hope you read it. Read about what matters, and that is what God is telling each one of us. It's a uniform message. He's not telling you something that is not in the Bible. It's uniform. He tells us all to be holy and godly. Well, search it out for yourself and have a look. That Bible is a good book to read. Oh, yes, it is. Sometimes you can listen to what other people say, or pastors. Pastors can be a big help towards your understanding. But really, look into it yourself. You are the responsible person for your own salvation. Your parents are not responsible for you. Your pastor is not responsible for you, nor is your priest. It is you, your personal decision, and your commitment to Jesus Christ. So remember that, and then have a good look at what he gives us. He gives us his word, the Bible, God's word. And God, Jesus, gave us that free gift by dying on the cross. It is payment for our sins. And then we have to accept his gift, and our sins are forgiven when we repent and turn from our past sinful life. And for this forgiveness that he gives us, we are so grateful that we are grateful that we have heaven as our eternal destiny, that we want to make our life living for him here on the earth and in heaven also. That transformation is what is talked about in John chapter 3, where it talks about that born-again experience. It's also talked about in Ezekiel 36:26, when it talks about having your stony heart removed and receiving a heart of flesh. Because, you know, that's what I see, that a rebirth of being born again starts in your heart. And for some people, it can be an instant change, just instant, and all of a sudden, they're a new person. And for some people, it takes years. Yeah, like for me, it took years. I had to study, read books, read the Bible a couple of times, and then I could see the truth of the historical Bible and the truth of the Spirit of God. And I chose to become God's. You can choose that too. And then spread the good news of the gospel. Well, that is one of the things that we get to choose actively. And we turn to the things of God. And we turn away from things that are of the world. We reflect on that in different ways. We think about it. We live it out. I know one of the things I think about is the great commandment in Matthew 22:37. It's also in Mark 12 and Luke 10, to love God and love your neighbor. That's the simple way of saying it, but that's what it is. And one way we do this is by helping our neighbor, and, well, you can call it loving your neighbor too. It's the same kind of thing when you have compassion for them. And of course, the biggest compassion is for their eternal life. And so you can explain the truth of the gospel to anybody who will listen. So that when a person is in a time of difficulty, they are more willing to listen. And that's something that when we are in a time of difficulty, sometime in the future, we want to know how to speak and what to do. Yes, we show God's gospel to people, and that means by how we live, by how we help people, by how we are have compassion for the hurting. And this is a part of a Bible, of gospel, and that's what we do as Christians. That's a part of loving your neighbor and loving God by loving your neighbor. Well, there are all sorts of ways to help people, but this is a part of what we do. We help our neighbor. And for the things that are coming that we just don't quite understand, but we're told about plenty of things that could happen, about emergencies and natural disasters, and we want to remember that they can happen to us too. We could have broken water pipes, for instance, and need water. We could have a pandemic. Yeah, right. Or we could have a hurricane. Well, the thing is lots of emergencies can happen, and what we want to do is to be able to help our neighbor. And that means we have something to help them with. If you have nothing in your storehouse, you don't have anything that you can give. If you are living day to day, you don't have $100 to donate to some people who are really hurting. So the point is you do have extra. You do have something with which you can help your neighbor. Even if your neighbor is in Beirut, Lebanon, just think of that big explosion that happened the other day. A lot of people need help now. Let's see. Roughly 500 died and 5,000 were wounded, and 1,000 people, 1,000 families lost their homes. It's a big thing. They say 300,000 people are homeless, but I don't know how they get that number. It doesn't exactly add up to me. But whatever it is, we know it is a serious and a bad event, and we want to show compassion to so many people, including the people hurting in another country or in another state or another part of town. That's what we do as Christians. We show compassion. We show caring and express the good news of the Bible, that we can be saved through Jesus Christ, saved from hell. So, you know that explosion in Beirut? They say there was 2,000 tons of an ammonium nitrate that had been on board a ship, but it was abandoned in their harbor. So the Lebanese authorities, they seized the cargo and put it in another location. That was in 2014. And it's just sat there waiting for who knows what. 2,000 tons is equivalent to, let me think here, about 100 semi-load, truckloads of material. So, yeah, it's a lot, but 100 loads is not just huge, huge either in a semi-truck. But it's a bad thing to happen, and people are for sure going to be held responsible. Oh, that's what we think anyway. How do you hold judges and officials responsible for that explosion? I don't know, but the people are certainly upset. Well, let's see. We do have big problems in life, just like that. We have big problems and small ones. So what do we do to prepare? Everybody prepares in a different way. It depends on what we see as the problem. That's one of those things about being young or old. See, when you're young, like in your 20s, or let's just say 30, if you're 30, you have an experience of maybe seeing one great big accident happen in your life. And so you might think, oh, it'll never happen again. It was just one thing. So that's what happens in your 20s or maybe by the time you're 30. But if you're older and those accidents happen like one every 10 years, and let's just say you're 60s, 65 or something, you will have seen five of those big bad events in your life. And so you have a different impression about things that happen in life. If you've seen one and you think, oh, it'll never happen again when you're young, in your 20s, or if you're in your 60s and you've seen five of those things that just shouldn't ever happen, but they did, you have a different life experience and you become more cautious. You become more concerned about preparing for this or for that. Last week, I had a very nice meeting with about a dozen people, good, intelligent people who were concerned about what was going on in our world. And so we had a nice discussion about being prepared. And it was just regular people, just like all of us. And they were concerned. So I think that is something that we can take into our own experience and see that people are concerned. We don't have to look into history. In history, lots of things have happened. Lots of big old bad surprises. But people today are concerned just about having the basic needs to live. And so there was a lot of discussion about those basic needs, which were food and water. So everybody was concerned with food, but I wanted to impress people with how important water was. Water is more important than food. And what happens if one day water does not come out of your tap? Maybe a line is broken, and maybe there's an electrical outage where the water station cannot pump the water anymore. So what do you do? Do you have any water around? Do you have any stored water? I know people think of 8 drops of bleach in a glass in a gallon of water. Or if the water is not clear, but if it's cloudy, it's 16 drops of bleach. And yeah, you get a little bleach smell with it, but oh, you get to drink water and or use it for cooking, and it's just wonderful to have water. When we don't have something, we really appreciate it all the much more. There are other ways to make water fit for drinking, and one of those is to use UV light. Ultraviolet light is, well, one of the methods is done by AsteriPen. That's the brand name. That's good and effective. You put a little probe into the water, like a pint of water, and you turn the light on for, it's an automatic setting, let's just say it's 30 seconds, and then the water is all right to drink. It's good to drink. You can also get ultraviolet light from the sun. They say 8 hours in the sun does it. Well, yeah, if the water's in a clear container and it's a sunny day. So, I don't know. I think my favorite thing for water is the passive water filter called the Big Berkey. There are other ones by different names also. And that's probably my favorite water cleaner. Makes it okay for drinking. You can also boil water in for cooking. I mean, that's good too. Let's think about that for a minute. Cooking. You will want to have a propane stove for your cooking in case the electricity goes out or the gas lines are broken. Just get a camping cook stove. A 5-gallon tank of propane will last a person about 3 weeks if you don't do a lot of cooking. But that's about kind of an average. And you also want to get some other things to be prepared, like a cast iron pot, because you need the iron that is in cast iron. Everybody needs iron. It helps your blood stay healthy. And so a big cast iron pot is good. I like the Dutch oven, the one with a lid. It's kind of a big pot, kind of. And that's good. You can even use those for baking bread or all sorts of things. So look at that, and then look at your food and how many calories you want to have every day. I know 2,000 is about normal, but if you're doing hard work, you're going to need 4,000 calories. At times, we'll be different if we do have an emergency, and depends on what we eat. That's another little factor. If you're eating the grains, you're probably going to want to eat 4 times a day, not 3 times a day, because the food just doesn't stay with you as long as what we are used to eating does stay with you. So look at that. If there's a big crisis, we might not have the meat that we're accustomed to. It just, things change. Everything will change. And you have to figure out what you want to do, what you want to stock on up on. It's a question we all have to look at individually. There's not an answer to it. You could do what I tell you to do, but that might not be what you want. So look at what you want in the way of food storage. I like grains, sugar, salt, and oil, and flavorings. But that's not everybody. And then for those grains, you will want to have a grain grinder, a manual grain grinder, for in case the electricity goes out. But if you're thinking of grains and grinding, I really suggest you get 2 grain grinders, because that way, if something happens to one, you have a backup. And I like those whole grains because they stay nutritious. If you have flour, it gets exposed to the air, and its nutrition does not last nearly as long. So figure to get an entire grain and grind it up. And that's my answer. And like I said, I like wheat, whole wheat, hard red wheat. I also like spelt. It is the parent of wheat. It's an ancient grain. And I like all sorts of other things, grains like barley for a little flavoring, and I like rice. You can also use rice in your bread. You can use sugar in your bread, brown sugar, white sugar, honey. You can put olives in your bread or raisins in your bread or even chocolate chips. Just anything changes the bread so that you'll say, hey, this is different. I like it. That's kind of what you have to deal with when you're dealing with a long-term storage food. Find something to make it interesting. Keep it a little bit different. Spices and variety is good. For oil, I like non-GMO oil, which is olive oil and sunflower oil. And I think we should all get plenty of salt. Salt is cheap. Salt is easy. And I like the iodized salt because there again, just like the iron, there are not readily available sources of iron, of iodine, hardly anywhere in the food chain. So get some from, or you can get a little bottle of it. That's good too. Salt is good. Iodine is good. Iron is good. Anyway, you look at these things because it's a matter of making decisions. And salt can be used as a preservative. If you are concerned with storing food, you will want a lot of salt. It's cheap. Get plenty of it. But don't store it in a metal container. Put it in its own 5-gallon plastic bucket. That's what I suggest. It can be used for preserving all sorts of foods. I mean, we can't imagine having foods with so much salt content. I mean, do you ever remember pickled or salted fish? No, I couldn't eat it, but I know that the fish lasted and lasted if you salted it, or salted meat, or salted beef jerky. That's how you make things last. And if we ever get into that situation, that's what you will want to do, because no electricity means no refrigerator. And so you'll have to find a new way to preserve foods. It will be a lot of trial and error, and everybody will be learning, relearning the ancient things, the old things that we used to know once upon a time. But maybe there won't be a power outage. Maybe not. But it's a real possibility. At least recognize that. And if you can't have transportation, just like if you wouldn't have electricity, you would not have gasoline. You would not be able to get your salt from the ocean or from a salt mine. No. So salt is cheap. Salt is easy. Have plenty of it. Oh, and that's the same for grains. Grains are easy. Grains are available. Sure, that's not what we would choose nowadays. We would prefer some other food. But when you're hungry, all sorts of things taste good. And you will want to have something that is nutritious to eat. A whole grain is a really good idea. And then you grind it up and eat it fresh. That's what I like to think about. See, the grid down is actually more real than we sometimes think about. It can happen. And what it means is that we won't have so much of what we take for granted now. I just mentioned gasoline. I could say banking. We wouldn't have banking. We wouldn't have transportation because the gas pumps would not pump gas without electricity. Gasoline would not be delivered. If there was a great big old earthquake, maybe the roads would be blocked. Maybe the overpasses would fall down. I mean, they're just things that would happen. So what would we be concerned about? You can guess just like I can. One thing that doesn't get mentioned all the time is bacteria. And if we don't keep things clean enough, or if we don't wash our hands, we touch food, we can get a bug inside of us that gives us diarrhea. So that's something so very important. Have an anti-diarrhea medicine. Those pills work. Oh, not perfectly, but they really, really do work. So get that anti-diarrheal pill, because when you need them, you need them. That can be a part of your whatever you carry with you kit. If you have a little medical kit, that's good. I think everybody ought to have a little medical kit. Just have the very basics. And I think of these basics for a big medical kit or a little medical kit. They're all important to have. A triple antibiotic ointment is probably the most important one. I know one person who's allergic to triple antibiotic, and they have to have a single antibiotic ointment, or they just put Vaseline over the wound to help it heal. And that way, when you take the gauze off, the gauze doesn't stick. Well, anyway, we don't have to spend a lot of time with this. Just have lots of some kind of an antibiotic or Vaseline. Have lots of gauze medical pads and lots of cloth medical tape. Those are important. You can have them with you in your personal kit or have lots of them in your home kit. The little simple things like Band-Aids are useful too. I think the best use for Band-Aids has been for children, because when they get a little boo-boo, and you put something on that, they feel cared for. So a Band-Aid can be a really good thing just to show your care and compassion for a child. Very good. Have Band-Aids. Or what do they call them now? I forgot what they call them, but you know what I mean. Other things that are very good are a paper and pencil, because you cannot remember what you have done. Nobody, hardly anybody can. For what the conditions were that you were treating, if you took aspirin or whatever it is, What was the time? You need to write all those things down and keep track of it. That's just what you do. Or what a wound looked like a few days ago. Is the redness increasing or decreasing? Put a line around it to see if it needs further attention. Well, you will want to make written notes of all the things that you do, either for yourself or someone else. Even the temperatures of a person, maybe the blood pressure, if that's what you're dealing with. Keep written records. It's important. So you know what has been done. You might want to even ask somebody else for another opinion about what has happened. And to do that, you will need those notes to look back on. Yeah, don't trust your memory, because memories, well, just write it down. Have detailed records. And remember cleanliness. Cleanliness is so very important. Well, God has given us an amazing body. It heals a great deal. So much of our bodies just heal. Yes. I've had things that just have healed, and it's wonderful to have our bodies that heal, but we still need to keep our bodies strong with good, clean water and food. There's nothing wrong with having a few first aid books either. First aid books are good. They help us to understand a little bit here and a little bit there. Several books will give you different points of view, so you want to get several first aid books. Or better yet, take a medical class, an advanced medical class or two. Sure, become an EMT, or at least go through the training for it. All those things are important for a, let's just call it emergency or a grid down situation. You don't know what you're going to face or find. Also, that first aid classes for backpackers can be good, because they are out in the woods without electricity, and so they will teach you a little more about what to do in a primitive situation. And if the grid is down, it is going to be a primitive situation. Life changes if we don't have electricity. Yeah. Well, there are several things that could happen to make it so we don't have electricity. They have all happened before. The coronal mass ejection is what happens when our sun has a solar flare, a great big one. CME, that we had a big one in 1859, and it caused the Carrington effect. And it melted the telegraph lines that were between cities on the east coast of the United States. It literally melted the metal into the grass, and it caused grass fires. So, could that happen again? Yes, it could. It happened once. That means it can happen again. Well, it has happened again, just to not to that extent. In 1921, there was a cable that went across the ocean, the transatlantic cable, from Europe to the United States. And there was a coronal mass ejection, a CME, in 1921. And it was not a major one, but it made it so that line had to be repaired. So there are things that can happen naturally with the sun, and that could take out our whole electrical grid. There are things that happen with mankind that can take off our whole electrical grid, not to mention terrorism. That's one. And there was one in San Jose, let me think of the year, in 2000. And, I can't remember the year, but it was a few years back, like 2014 or something. something like that. And a substation was attacked, and they only had 11 minutes to destroy it, and they did it with gunfire. The transformers were greatly crippled, in fact, kind of destroyed. It's just an example of a terrorist attack that could also happen. It happened in San Jose. Oh, and another one thing that happened was in 1962, there was a atmospheric nuclear test. 1962, it was called Operation Starfish Prime. So they sent a nuclear bomb up into the sky, 29,000 feet. And this was 900 miles from Hawaii. So it was a test to see what would happen. And what it did was it took out all but some of the nuclear it took out all but a couple of the military generators in Hawaii. It knocked out all the electricity in Hawaii. And that's how we know what a magnetic pulse weapon will do. It could happen today. We are defenseless against one because our Congress will not spend the money that it takes to fix our electrical grid. If there was a nuclear bomb or two that was detonated over the United States, we would have a grid-down situation. That's what the EMP, electromagnetic pulse, would do. And there's people who have warned us about this. Ted Koppel warned us in his book, Lights Out. And then that was about 2016. And then there was a man who was hired by Congress, Peter Pry, PhD, and he looked into what it would take to knock our grid out. And so he looked into it for a few years and made a report to Congress. That was about 2010. And ever since then, he has been actively speaking to people across the country and telling them what danger we are in of having our grid be knocked out and electricity being lost. Not just for weeks or months, but for years. I mean, it might be 5 years of having no electricity. We would have a real hard time surviving. Do you have the ability to farm and get your food for 5 years? Or do you have 5 years of food put away? No, just about nobody does. I guess the government does in their deep underground bunkers that is intended for the Congress and our political leaders. But we don't have that. And I think anything that you have is better than nothing. So have some food on hand to get you through to a position where you can. Yeah, I know they say plant a garden. Plant a garden is good, but it really is hard to get enough food from a garden to support yourself for 1 year. That's why I say do the easy thing and get your supplies now. Get grains. FEMA says you need 270 pounds of wheat if wheat is your primary source of food. That is one 55-gallon drum of grain. So get that. Get that. I see grain for sale here and there. I saw it in Winco last week. So it is for sale. There are outlets for grain, and you can get it in 50-pound sacks or 25-pound sacks. Get lots of grain, different grains. You just make your choice. I do like wheat because it's good bread. I like rice because that's different. And a lot of people like rolled oats. But if you are thinking about a lot of rolled oats, consider getting an oat roller so you can make your own rolled oats. A whole oat is called a groat. And they sell groats, but they're not real common. And then what you do is you roll your own in a little press, kind of like a grain grinder, and then you can have rolled oats, fresh. And that way the air doesn't cause the grain to deteriorate just a little bit. It's oxidization. But you want your food as fresh as you can be, and you want to be aware of what can happen. I just talked about the grid down. In 2018, the Presidential National Infrastructure Advisory Council warned against a grid down situation and said we could be for months, many months, without power, and it could stretch into years. So there are things that happen. I didn't even touch on earthquakes. Well, remember the Loma Prieta earthquake in the Bay Area? 6.8 or 9. And then there was Northridge. That was also a 6.8. And those only lasted like 15 or 20 seconds. But if we have an earthquake along the Cascadia subduction zone, there will be 4.5 to 5 minutes of shaking. And you can be sure that it will knock a lot of things out. Bridges, overpasses, completely shaken, roadways disrupted. I don't know how we're going to get our food and supplies or gasoline if that happens. So get your supplies. Get a few supplies for just in case the big one happens. You might want some extra things. You know, you can think of what they are. I like to remember a sharpening stone. I like to remember soap. Those things, yeah, you can make your own soap with ashes, but it's so much easier to have the commercial soap. So think about what you might want to have. There are possibilities of our electrical grid going down from warfare. Our satellites could be knocked out, and that's one of the things that's going on. Russia has developed satellites to knock out our own satellites. And if we ever do have a war, you know that will happen. So just remember to get prepared. I didn't talk about the money system going down. That's a real possibility, too. There are things going on right now which could mean our dollar would collapse. And what would we do? Oh, have a very hard time. We would have inflation. We would have money becoming worthless. Just like, how would you like to buy $100? Buy a loaf of bread for $100 or a gallon of gas for $100. It's just that money inflates. It's done that all over the world, and it could happen in the United States too. With all the money printing we are doing, it is not just possible, it is probable. There are things going on with the international money, the International Monetary Fund and the bank. They are looking at the possibilities of what would happen if the dollar failed. How would we get new money? Well, our dollars would then drop by probably one-third of its value, maybe two-thirds after a year or two. So there's things that we can always look at. We want to be prepared. Yes, prepared spiritually especially, but also prepared physically. Listen to my other broadcasts if you want, or this one again by going to www.christtoday.org. Or you can get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.